Through the last few months, we've been looking at lessons for my son, things that I would love to be able to teach my son David, and things that I feel like our Heavenly Father wants to share with us. And a quick run through of what those are is first that you're loved. You were loved before you were born. You were loved before you did anything to deserve it. That I want David to know that his Heavenly Father, his daddy, knows best and will be able to take care of him. I want David to be someone who is generous and courageous because he has strength enough to share. I want him to be humble because he'll know that he's never too smart to do something stupid. I want him to care about other people and to realize the value not only in himself, but then the value in others because people's is people's. And as Becky talked about last week, that Jesus leads us home, that God wants to make his home inside of David, and God wants to be David's home even when he's far away. And today, the lesson that I want us to look at is to think long term, to live with patience and with intention. I want to think long term. I want to live long term toward what will be best, not just for myself, but also for my family. So, as we're looking at having a long-term focus, first look at a couple of reasons. And the first one is one that if you come to this church, you hear regularly enough. Because when I look at God and when I look at Jesus, that's the way that he is. And we, people made in God's image, are supposed to mirror that. So first, a good reason to live long-term, to be that kind of way, is because long-term is what God's character is like. In Ecclesiastes, he goes through this whole list of, there's a time for everything. There's a time for war, a time for peace, there's a time for love, there's a time for waking up, a time for going to sleep, there's a time for all of this stuff, and God makes everything beautiful in its time. And then we're told that God has set eternity in our hearts. See, God, who is eternal, this everlasting being, has also created us to have that same kind of mentality, even though it says we can't get it. We can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We don't have the whole scope. And that we admit. We just start with, God has put eternity in our hearts, and yet I don't fully understand the beginning. I don't understand the end. So I'm not saying that when we think long term that we'll have the whole picture that God has, yet we should be ones that start with a picture. In Hebrews 11, we have all of these examples of people, men and women, who had great faith in God and who trusted him, and people that we look up to as heroes. But then there's this sort of, honestly, discouraging statement to me of how God is more looking long-term than we are. Because he goes through this list of these amazing people, and he says, all of these people, they were known for their faith, but none of them received what God had promised in their lifetime, that what they were looking for, they didn't fully receive all of God's promises. These people that we go, they're awesome. But even them, God was thinking more long-term. And God had planned something better for us and for them so that together we'd be able to have that. And in short, what he's talking about is Jesus would come. And the Holy Spirit would be sent into our lives. And all the people who lived before Jesus, they had this hope that God was going to put everything right. But it wasn't until Jesus came that long-term plan got to finally find its fruition. And so God looks more long-term than I do. And sometimes I want his plan to happen now. And I go, oh, if I just have enough faith, if I just walk right, then I'll get everything. And sometimes God is more long-term planning than I am. Jesus showed that as well. That's his character. And right after we have these verses, then we're told, okay, now look towards Jesus. Don't get tired of running the race, but we must run in such a way, first with our focus on Jesus. Because he's the goal. He's the source of our faith. And he saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on a cross. Jesus was looking more long-term, right? That Jesus, he knows he's going to be crucified. He sees death on a cross and knows that that's not going to be a nice experience. But he says, I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to stop something that might be painful in the short term, knowing that long-term there is joy set before me. There is purpose for what's happening and for what I'll go through. Purpose that was not only for Jesus, but purpose for all of us. So we must be those that run that race. And that picture of running a race, of thinking long term, since I do some long distance running, it makes sense to me. But for those of you who have done that type of running, or maybe some of you will be in the Maastricht Moisture race that's coming up just next weekend, I believe, it's not how well you start, it's how well you do the whole race, right? It's not just you plan your first kilometer, you have to make it through the whole thing. And that's part of what thinking long-term is about, is looking at that. We're told by another guy in the Bible, Paul, who says, you know, run in such a way to get a prize. I mean, people who do that in a very physical sense, they run so that they can win this earthly crown, or so they can get a medal, or so they can get a medallion. But the kind of race we're talking about, the spiritual one, that's a crown that will last forever. So we don't do it aimlessly. We're intentional. We focus long-term on what we're doing. Sometimes we think God isn't being long-term, he's just being lazy. He's not. In 2 Peter, we're told that God isn't slow, not like we understand slowness. He has the desire for everyone to come to know him. He realizes that there is something that's truly at stake. And he wants to give people time. He wants to be patient so that people realize the truth about him. God isn't being slow like we understand slowness. And when the day of the Lord comes, it's going to be a day that's full of him putting things right. And that isn't necessarily going to be a day that's fun. It says it's going to be like a fire that's refining gold, and it's burning up all of the impurities. Or it's like bleach that's making things clean. Well, if you have bleach on your skin, you know that hurts. Sometimes putting things right, making things clean, is not a comfortable circumstance. Everything is going to be destroyed that was worthless, and the things that are gold will remain. And we have that picture that God says, I'm not slow, but when I come, it's going to be like a fire. And everything that was worthless, all those impurities are going to be burned away. Because of that, what kind of people should we be? That's the question that we're given in the Bible. Because everything will be destroyed, what kind of people should we be? How should we live our lives? How should we be long-term? Knowing that the end is going to be, the stuff that was worthless is going to be gone. How should you live right now with what we have? So in what kind of people we should be, I have two basic thoughts to run off of. One of those is, first, build your character. And second is, build up others. So those will be the kind of people that we should be. But I'll break those down a bit more. In building your character, in life choices, so often, especially in churches, people have had this heart of, like, I just want to know what God's will is for me. I want to know God's exact will. Where exactly am I supposed to go? What exactly am I supposed to do? And sometimes we think that it's about marrying the right person, getting the right job, telling the right people about Jesus, and then you have reached God's will for you. And marrying the right person, getting the right job, telling the right people about Jesus is a good thing to do, yes. But sometimes in our frustration of wanting to know those exact answers, we get complaining, or we think that God is being mean, and we just want to know God's will, and why isn't he letting us do that? But our character is so much more important to God than us getting the right answers. There's a poem from years ago that stuck with me. I've shared it with our youth group in the past, called Unnoticed Moments. It says, who are you when no one is paying attention? When only God and you are watching? How will you spend your time? How will you live your life in those unnoticed moments? For one day the world will see the person you became in those unnoticed moments. So often, we're worried about what people see and not about what God is doing in the meantime. So we're told what God's will is for our lives. If If you want it, here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. This is one of those verses that means a lot to me. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. Do that always, continually, all the time. That's God's will for you. Sounds easy, sounds too easy, all at the same time. But I think sometimes when we're getting in our God's will of exactly where I should live, exactly what job I should do, and we get not rejoicing in that, and we're not thankful for it, then we think that we're running towards God's will when we're actually just running away from God's will. And our prayers sometimes are not prayers of asking God for help, it's just telling God what he hasn't done fast enough. Jesus also tells us kind of where to put our focus. He tells us, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. All of these things that people worry about so often. What am I going to eat today? Will I have the right clothes to wear? Is my outfit matching? Is David going to sleep long enough at night? Is all this stuff? And Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about all of that. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Those are the two things, and those are the long term that will last. Each day has enough trouble of its own, but look for the things that are going to last. So I want to look at two enemies of long-term thinking. There can be more to these, but these both have to do with time. Two enemies of long-term thinking can be laziness and impatience. Laziness says, you know what, I just don't want to do anything. Impatience says, it has to be right now. And both can lead towards troubles. My parents, if you ask them, especially when I was younger, they might say the same answer now. If you ask them, what is something that Matthew needs to be very careful of? What is a character thing that needs to grow in him? They would say, sometimes Matthew is lazy. So I'm not saying this because I'm awesome at these and I'm never lazy, nor am I ever impatient. The same because I know it from experience. There are times when I have wasted time and wasted effort instead of looking towards what's long-term and what will last. So my encouragement to you is don't do that. And I want to look at how that works in some of the things of just our daily life. What does long-term thinking look like when it comes to our work? With work hard. Don't be lazy. We're given this picture one time in the Bible where it says, you know what? You lazy person, look at an ant. Really small creature. Even smaller brain. And yet somehow with its teeny tiny brain, an ant realizes that it needs to work hard, that it needs to prepare itself during the summer for the winter. And I can almost hear in the background, teeny tiny brain of ant. Big brain of human, and yet the ant gets it better than you do when you're being lazy. Sometimes we're so very proud of our species. We need to be those that are willing to work hard. Well, why? We're told that all of our work, it should be done as though you're doing your work for God and not for people. At one point in Colossians and several other times in Paul's letters, he's speaking to people and says, you know, those of you who are employees, do your work to your best. Not just when your employer is watching you. Not just when your manager is looking over your shoulder, making sure you're doing it right. Don't just put on your good smile then. Don't switch off of Facebook right when your boss walks by and then switch back on after he's gone. Do your best at your work, because you know who's the one who eventually chooses, the one who gives the reward? It's God and not your manager. Anything that your boss, your employer can give you, honestly, those are all going to be things that won't last. The company car, it won't last. A raise, it won't last. The vacation time never lasts as long as you want it to. But what God will give you is more important. So in your work with all your heart. What about in things like relationships? I mean, this one, I mean like guy-girl relationships. Be intentional. Here's free dating advice. If you're interested in dating someone and you don't think that it's really going to lead towards marriage, that this is not a person that you would ever marry, then don't waste your time. I'm not saying that the first person that you're interested in, the first person that you date, is the person that you have to marry. I've known some people who had that, and it's worked out great, and it's been beautiful. And I've known people like myself who were interested in others and went, okay, I think this is something that could lead towards marriage. This could be good. Started a relationship, got knowing each other, and then realized at a moment, no, this isn't going to be in the direction that God wants the rest of my life to go. And it's been hard decisions to then break off that relationship, but trust me, it was worth it. So for those of you who are thinking about, who am I going to find to marry, make sure that you find someone who loves God. Trust me, that helps a lot. And find someone who's walking in a similar direction of what you're going to be going. Someone who will be able to work alongside you. Be intentional in relationships. What about when we face setbacks? Setbacks can be persecution. Setbacks can be someone gets sick. Setbacks can be just about anything. Be patient. Be patient, be prayerful. Our second reading today was from Romans, and he said, "The troubles that we're facing right now, I consider to be insignificant compared with the glory that will be revealed, what will happen." Again, it's long-term thinking. Yes, you're in a messed up situation right now. Yes, it's hard right now, but you're not looking for right now. You're looking towards what is the end and what is God wanting to achieve? What is God wanting to bring about? And that includes building your character. And in these moments is when that happens. We're told, be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction and trouble. And be faithful in prayer. And prayer seems to keep coming up with those. Of when you're in struggles, pray. Keep that as a focus. Keep that as what you're working toward. 1 Peter tells us this. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before God. He will lift you up in his good time. God's being long-term. Right now may not be fun, but God's being long-term. And at the right time, he'll put things straight. Leave your worries with him. We do that in prayer so much because he cares for you. We're being reminded. Be encouraged. Yes, you face setbacks, but be encouraged. And even though you might go through suffering, God will perfect you. God will give you firmness. God will give you strength. Just overall, if you're feeling discouraged, I recommend reading 1 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. Both of those are books in the Bible that help us keep our focus long-term versus just what's happening in our lives right now. One example of this in the Bible is a character by the name of David. David, when he's this young guy, has a prophet tell him, you're going to be the king of this whole country. As a little kid, that sounds great. I kind of wanted to be a king someday when I grew up, at least a prince, but maybe a king, till I realized I was born in the United States and that's not even allowed. We don't have a king, so that's a fail. But David's told, you're going to be king. And then his life seems to be going in a good direction because the guy, the present king, King Saul, at first really likes David. Eventually, David gets married to a princess. Good sign. He becomes best friends with the prince. Good sign. It's like you're being adopted into the family. This is going great. God promised I'll be king, and now I have it in good with the royal family. Sounds like a nice fairy tale story. But then something switches, and the present king kind of goes nuts and tries to kill David. And is chasing him around. And David is running and running for his life. And we're given two examples of times that as David is running, King Saul gets this close to catching David. But then, actually, it becomes the reverse. And David is in the perfect situation to be able to kill this man who's been chasing him. One time, King Saul is in a cave and is relieving himself, told pretty much he's using the bathroom. That's a pretty vulnerable time. Another time, he's in the middle of a camp of soldiers, but he's asleep, and David is able to sneak into the camp and be standing right over him and picks up the spear of the king. Both times, David's men are saying, "Perfect opportunity. God said you would be king. The crazy king is right here. He's trying to kill you. You just kill him. You become king. Problem solved." And that might be one example of long-term thinking. But David didn't see it that way. He saw that as taking the easy way out. He said, "No. What kind of character do I have then? If I kill the man that I've pledged allegiance to, the man that I'm supposed to be serving, the man who God put in place as the king. Yeah, God wants me to be king, and if he wants to do that, he can get that done. I don't need to be the one to take the easy way out and make things happen for myself." David seems to be blessed in those choices. And he does eventually become king, but he goes through hardship in between. And I'm sure there are moments where his men said, "David, didn't you? If you had just killed him, you wouldn't be still having these problems." But David was more concerned about his character. As I said, build your character instead of just getting what he wanted. What about death? How do we view death then when we're thinking long term and we're told death is not the end? We're told not that we can't grieve, but that we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We can think long term. We can see that there may be a physical death, and yet there is a promise of eternal life that far surpasses and far outweighs any of those things that we faced before that point. At one point, some of Jesus' disciples are sort of complaining and saying, "Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. We gave up our house. We left our family for times. We've given up everything. What do we get for it?" And Jesus says, "Guys, trust me. Anyone who's given up anything in this life for me, what you'll get is much better, even in this life and in the life to come. Even better. You will receive eternal life." So what kind of people ought we to be? We should be those that are building our character, focused on that and how God is wanting to develop us. That's part of long-term thinking. The other one is building up others. In Matthew, Jesus told us, "Go into the world. As you go, make disciples. Make students. Teach them all the things I taught you." Jesus has this sort of replication model that he encourages. "I taught you, now you go teach others. Teach them everything I taught you." And then that process is supposed to keep going. If you teach them to do everything I told you, part of that includes telling them to teach everything that you told them. Another example, 2 Timothy, we're told that Paul, who is this great church planner, this missionary, and he's talking to one of his students, Timothy, and says, "What I've taught to you, entrust to reliable people who will be able to pass that along to others." Keep it moving along. And another look again at 2 Peter, when Peter is getting near the end of his life. He realizes he's going to die, and he's writing this letter to his friends and says, "As long as I'm still alive, while I have this chance, I think it's right to refresh your memory, to remind you of these things. I'm going to die soon. Jesus has made that clear to me, so I'll make every effort to see you remember these things after I die." Peter had a long-term perspective. He said, "It's not just ending with my life, but what goes on past that. There need to be people who will remember this, who will know it. And right before it, he said, you guys are actually doing this well. Good job. Keep it up, though. You're established in them, but I'm going to make sure with all I can that you will not forget it. That's why in our church, we've had things you can see on the top of your note sheet. Right? Keep reminding us that we, the church, as followers of Jesus, will love as Jesus loved, will teach what Jesus taught, and will obey as Jesus obeyed. Because as long as I'm here, maybe that's 5 years, maybe that's 50 years, as long as I'm here, I think it's good to remind you of that. That Jesus is our example. That Jesus had loved us, and so we should go out and love. That Jesus showed us what God is like, so we should go out and teach that. It's also why we keep talking this year about praying together and serving together. You've heard that several times, just even in this sermon, that prayer keeps coming up and coming up, that we need to be praying together. It's in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 9. We're told that the end of everything is near. So we kind of go back to where we started, right? Since there's going to be this ending, how should we live right now? Well, how should we live right now? Well, practice self-control and keep your minds clear. For what purpose? So that you can pray. So prayer, that's a big thing. Love each other. Welcome each other. Each of you use the gift God has given you to serve others. Praying together. Serving together. Right there. Why? Because we should have long-term perspective and long-term thinking. And I go, wow, God, you put those right next to each other long before I ever did. Why do I think those two things are important? Because what lasts? I think the things that last are God and people. The Spirit, what God has put into us, that those two things last. Makes sense then why Jesus said, greatest commandments are these, love God, love people. That's why working on that relationship with God through prayer, that's so important. That's why serving other people, because you're building them up, because you're concerned about their character, they last, that's important. Some of these other things, they don't. We have this sober reminder in 1 John that we shouldn't love anything of the world, because the world, all its stuff, it's going to pass away. But the one who does the will of God will last forever. So if no one's ever told you this, your house, it's not going to last forever. Your couch, your television, your iPhone, they're not going to last forever. Your carnival costume, your favorite little dress that you get to wear, they're not going to last forever. Your makeup, your computer, your romance novel, your manga, your porn magazine, they're not going to last forever. Your favorite vacation spot, the record of your favorite football team, also not going to last forever. So much of this is just going to pass away. So how should you live right now? What should you put your time into right now? We're told that whoever does the will of God lives forever. Maybe through hearing all of this, thinking about this, you're wondering, okay, how do I start doing the will of God? How do I start doing that? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. It starts with a conversation. You start talking to God, and he's able to hear us. It can be as easy as kind of these things. And I'm sorry, a please, and a thank you. We start by saying to God, you know what, I'm sorry, because I have wasted so much time on things that don't matter. I could probably say that just about every day. God, I'm sorry. please, please, God, give me your help. Which is, he has, which is the amazing thing, right? That we're told in Jesus, God, we've been given hope. We've been given new life. We're told that his Holy Spirit can come into us, live in us. So I say, please, God, give me that life. And thank you. Because we remember to be grateful, to be joyful always, giving thanks continually. If you've never had that sort of a conversation with God, that can happen today. If you're interested in that or wondering about it, I would love to get to talk to you afterward. But for many of you, you already have some of these conversations with God, and this is just a refresher. But I think it's good to remind you, as long as I'm here, to remind you of these things so that you'll keep doing them. So in your life today, what is it that you want to change? What is it that you will take from this? Where is a place where you've just been focused really short term? And God's telling you, your focus should get bigger. There's something that's more important. The things of this earth, all this world has, is going to pass. So I will grasp for what lasts. That my focus will be on God. My focus will be on people. And that I won't give up on that as long as I live.